Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Monday. This is Brother Nathaniel Hunt with the Church Christ Alive message on the broadcast titled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. I want to shout out to those of you listening to this broadcast now here in the United States. Welcome. Welcome to those of you in Canada and Ireland. I want to welcome those of you listening in Spain, the Netherlands, United Kingdom, and every country that I have not named. I want to welcome you to Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. Now, if you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes out of respect to the time of the broadcast. And if you want to know how to obtain information to get copy of the messages, I will get that to you also. Once again, for those of you that have questions or prayer requests that you don't want to ask out over the air, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And I will get back to you on that. Amen. Now, as we get ready to go into the lesson today, I ask those of you who don't mind praying with me, because I know that perhaps there are some of you listening, and I ask you, would you join in with me in prayer? You know, you may have a problem with that. You may say, hey, I don't do that. Well, if you don't, that's your preference. But for those of you who don't mind, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you once again for this blessed day in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we thank you for another opportunity you've given us to go into the Word of God today. Father, I pray that I would do a job that will be pleasing unto you in delivering your message. And I pray that you would anoint the words of my mouth and that your Spirit will be with us as we assemble together to hear your Word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that is tuning in and listening to this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Well, we are starting on a new but not so new series. For those of you who have been listening to me as of late, you know, for the most part, with the exception of the last, three broadcasts or so that I've been doing, I've been coming before you about the plan of redemption. Amen. And I've been talking to you about, you know, who is the Redeemer, which is Christ, who designed the plan of redemption to redeem mankind. Because mankind ended up in a fallen state. Mankind was heading to destruction. Mankind could not save or deliver himself. So he was in need of a savior. He was in need of a deliverer. And Jesus Christ filled those shoes. Amen. And so we have been on this thing about redemption, because I told you guys that when I first started on, I told you it was going to be some different parts, you name it. And, you know, so far some of you are seeing what I told you. Amen. But the purpose is not to drag something on. But for those of you that listen to me do broadcasts, you know that I'm more on not just preaching, but teaching of the word. And I've learned from the Lord personally that when you're teaching the word, you can't rush through it. Amen. You have to go at a gradual pace. Okay. And I personally have seen not only concerning spiritual things, but natural things that many people don't know how to teach. They may have experience in some things, but they really don't know how to teach. And the Lord showed me how very important teaching is in this last day. Amen. Now, this is not to say Brother Nate is coming before you to say I'm the greatest teacher in the world. You know, whatever I could do to teach, the Lord taught me and dealt with me on it. Amen. So, today, we're dealing with the midnight cry, redeemed from the consequences of sin. Redeemed from the consequences of sin. Now, for those of you who have been listening ever since I've been doing the series on redemption, I gave you, I think, maybe three or four definitions of the word, for the word redeem. And one of them is going to go to this, what we're doing today. One of the definitions of the word redeem means to free from the consequences of sin, okay? People don't realize, and some just don't simply care, that sin brings consequences in our lives that is not good, okay? It is not like you're going to go sinning and there's no consequence or payment for it. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. Okay, so there is a payment. And so man in his fallen state, operating in the sin nature, the judgment or the consequences from the sin was on him. And man was in need of a deliverer. And once again, Jesus filled those shoes. Now, we're going to look at in this part of the series here about how Christ redeemed us from the consequences of sin. Now, remember, in the other series, I showed you that what Christ did, he did his part. It's not, quote, automatic. There's a role that we have to play, okay, to cause this thing to have this effect in our life, the power of redemption. And I share with you guys on another series where that it involves faith and repentance, okay? Some people, you know, as I listen, and I'm going to go on in a minute, you know, I've heard many sinners and even some Christians who just stressed on what Christ did in dying for our sins, which is true. But at the same time, you see that some of them has no mind to want to change from living in sin. And so they're thinking that because of what Christ done is automatic. In other words, they think that I don't have to change a thing. I can keep on living a sinful, unrighteous life like I was because Christ died for my sin. If you were to really listen to many people that talk like that, you will find out that's so, because I have been seeing it for some years. You know, you have people, you know, because they heard the preacher preaching it or heard it in Sunday school, they repeating. Now, what they repeating is true. Okay, don't get me wrong. What they're repeating is true. But at the same time, they have, you can tell and sense in your spirit and see that they have no desire to turn away from a sinful life. In fact, when you start talking holiness to some of them, you get these frowns, you get these head turns, you get this looking up all over like I can be somewhere else other than here kind of attitude, okay? So Christ came to redeem us, okay, or free us from the consequences of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the Bible. And for those of you that have your Bibles and you know, have your Bibles on the standby, because I shared with you guys on the broadcast that before that you'll see me coming from the three books of the Lord, the Bible, the Word of the Lord, and the Record of Nephite. And that's what I've been doing. So, and we know from the Word of the Lord that this is where the Lord Jesus wants us to go. Now, I want to ask you if you would turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. I want you to hold your place there because I'm going to read a scripture from the Word of the Lord, the modern day word of the Lord Jesus Christ through his angel messenger, the Elijah. And I want to read to you a scripture out of one of these messages of what Christ said. And he sent this word out April the 5th, 1985. in what is called the 102nd message, okay? And I want to read one of these verses in here of what Christ said that goes with what we're going into today. Amen? Glory to God. Now, this is what he says. And don't forget, if for those of you, you know, you got your Bible, keep your spot there. We're coming there in a minute. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Now, some of you may say, I don't have a Bible. Not a problem. If you got pencil and paper, please jot this down. Okay, please jot this down. Amen. Now, in this 102nd message, Jesus said, this is the authority he gave his angel, the Elijah, to say, I speak that all Christendom may flow together and abide by the Bible, revealing great truths, the coming forth of the record of Nephites, the book, and the word of the Lord. Behold, the books, plural, that will lead all mankind to eternal hope and salvation, deliverance in the Lord. Okay? So here, Jesus, in the modern day word he has sent in this day and time through his angel messenger, is saying that, you know, and it supports that the truth that the Bible and the record of Nephite gives concerning Christ redeeming us from the consequences of sin. Because he said, abide by the Bible, revealing great truths, the coming forth of the record of Nephite. So in this modern day word, the word of the Lord to mankind, Jesus is confirming that the Bible and the record of Nephite does speak truth concerning Christ redeeming us from the consequences of sin. In other words, it supports, and I'm here to tell you this, the Bible and record of Nephi speaks of this, and the word of the Lord here says that it supports it. That Jesus' modern-day word says, I support. What the Bible and record of Nephi says about Christ redeeming us from the consequences of sin. Amen. So I wanted to read that as we go to starting off. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Now, look what the word of God says. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, we notice here that here we're told, as Paul was writing to the Christians at Galatia, and he said, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. Not Buddha, not Hare Krishna, not none of the Hindu gods, not Elijah Muhammad. See, I told you guys, for those of you that claiming you believe in Christ, I'm telling you, your faith is going to be more greatly challenged in this day and time concerning your stance in Christ, concerning what you believe concerning Christ, okay? So right now is the time to get ready because it's coming, okay? It's coming. Some of you may say, well, I've already went through some things for Christ. You may have. But I'm here to tell you the intensity is going to be turned up, okay? I pray that you will hear that message. Now, he said Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, okay? See, with Jesus, we got to be specific and stand on he did it. See, too many people in this day and time, they are compromising, okay? They're too much compromise for what they call the sake of peace, okay? You know, and some of us will even quote and say, well, you know, the Lord said we got to be at peace with all men and we got to love all men. Well, when Jesus said that, he was not talking about you accepting their doctrines and teachings that is against him. Okay. He ain't talking about that. Okay. We get that love and peace thing mixed up. Okay. We do. We get it bad mixed up. Now, the Bible said that Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, Let's look at the word curse here for a minute. And when you look up the original Greek word for the word curse, it is katara. And katara means imprecation, execration. Once again, the word katara in the Greek means imprecation and execration. So the question would be, what is imprecation? Well, according to Webster, imprecation is the act of imprecating, or in other words, to invoke evil upon, curse, or to utter curses. Okay? That's what imprecation means. Once again, the act of curse, the act of imprecating, to invoke evil upon, curse, or to utter curses. The word execration, according to Webster, means the act of cursing or denouncing. The act of cursing or denouncing. In other words, since Paul said here, Paul was specific. He didn't just say Christ redeemed us from the law. Okay? He said Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Okay? So, according to Paul, there was a part of the law that, according to the meaning of the word curse in this verse, there was a part of the law that spoke curses. Okay? Amen. There's a part of the law that spoke curses. Now, we're going to look at that in a minute here. Okay? But I want to read a scripture from the book called The Record of Nephi, which bear witness to concerning this law. Okay? And this is coming from Record of Nephi, and one of the books in the Record of Nephi is called the Book of Moroni. And these were men of God who had taken account of God's dealing with the people over here in this continent, the laws, the commandments, the ordinances that God had given. Okay? Amen. And hallelujah. And they were to become another witness. Amen. Of the dealings and workings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for Jesus. Now, I want to read to you one of the scriptures here. And this is coming from Moroni, whose dad name was Mormon. And he went to read off an epistle that his dad, Mormon, who was also a man of God, wrote to him. Amen. And I want to read to you one of the things that was said in here, okay? Because we got to remember, the Lord didn't just deal with the Jews over there in Jerusalem, okay? Because you got to understand, God created all men, okay? So he didn't just deal with the Jews. Because remember, God always follows his own protocol to mouth two or three witnesses. So he's not going to deal with just one nation. He would deal with other nations. So what? So they all can come together to be one. He's not going to tell nothing contradictory. Now listen to what he says here. He says, "Behold, my son, this thing had not ought to be. For repentance is unto them that are under condemnation and under the curse of a broken law." Did you hear that? That's under a curse. That's under the curse of the broken law. See, that's a part of the law, once again, that spoke curses. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I sense the whole, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And see, that was the condition that mankind ended up in. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Mankind was cursed through what Adam did. Hallelujah. Mankind was cursed. Now, I want to read a couple of scriptures from the word of the Lord. Don't worry, we're coming back to the Bible in a minute. I want to read a couple of scriptures here. Amen. One of them is called the 44th message. The Lord sent it out August the 21st, 1939. August the 21st, 1939. Amen. And we're going to look at what he says in this verse here, in one of these verses. And this is what he says. He says, "The Lord has called many into this work that it shall be fulfilled to bring about his wise purpose. Therefore, let Boyd Pulaski, Philip Manuelito, and David F. Martin be set apart as elders." Okay. Goes on to say, "And if they shall be faithful in service, many shall be brought to the knowledge of the truth and know of the way of life and be saved." Remember, saved is also a synonym of the word redeemed. And be saved from that awful state. Now, notice he said that if they are faithful in their service to who? To Jesus Christ, given the word of God. He said, many will be brought to the knowledge of the truth and know of the way of life and be saved, delivered, actually walk in redemption from what? From that awful state. Now, notice he mentions an awful state, okay? Hallelujah. Now, let me read one more verse out of this word of the Lord here. This is coming out of the 36th message. Message 36, the Lord sent out July the 13th, 1938. Message 36. This is what the Lord had to say here. And he got authorized his angel to tell us this. He said, "I am he who shall minister unto 10,000 times 10,000, and they shall be tried and purged. For I sit as a refiner of gold, and as with full of soap, purging the hearts of men and cleansing out the dross, the sins of men. For man must be made holy before he can come in the presence of God or the glory of the Lamb, slain for the sins of the world, that mankind might believe on him and be redeemed from that," what? "Awful state." Do you hear that? Now, I took the liberty to look up the word awful, because you notice I read to you two scriptures where the Lord said, talks about man being saved or redeemed from that awful state, okay? That awful state. Well, I want to go to my dictionary here in Webster Dictionary. And looking up the word awful, amen. And one of the things I noticed about the definition of the word awful that Webster gives, kind of like a, if I can call it, a positive and a negative definition of the word, okay? I'm going to read these definitions to you, okay? They're only for the word awful here. He got mainly four. The first definition of the word awful is inspiring awe. It also means filled with awe, as afraid, terrified. It means deeply respectful or reverential. It means extremely disagreeable or objectionable. It also means exceedingly great. That's what it means. So when you heard me read these two scriptures from the word of the Lord where it said that the Lord talks about men being saved or redeemed from that awful state, we should come to understand that the definition we're looking for of the word awful out of what I read to you should be the negative side, okay, which tells about how disagreeable it is, okay? And overall, amen. Hallelujah. Because, see, we're looking for the negative definition because that we see that man has to be redeemed from this particular state, okay? And looking up the word state, and I want to turn in the dictionary here to the word state here. to give a definition of it. And amen. Now, the word state, and I want to give you a definition of the word state. One, it means mode or condition of being, a mode or condition of being, okay? It also means a condition of mind or temperament. That's what it also means. And to give you one more definition, it also means a condition or stage in the physical being of something, okay? So when you look at the Lord talking about the awful state, he's overall talking about the condition of man being in a condition where it is not agreeable with him. Now, what can we understand would be considered an awful state? Well, the awful state he talked about man had to be redeemed from is the fallen state or the state of being cursed. Okay? Amen. It is an awful state. When we are cursed or under a curse, and the curse has us and got us, you are in an awful state. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, seeing that man, Christ came, when I read to you in the word of the Lord here, to save or redeem us from this awful state, which is a fallen state. Amen. In fact, I want to read one more scripture here from the record of Nephi, and we're going right back to the Bible. Amen. And I want to read to you what I believe is man of God here from the record of Nephi named Alma had to say concerning that. Now, I ask that you would hear this. He said, and the Lord said unto me, marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women, all nations, kindred, tongues, and people must be born again, yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters. So that awful state is a fallen state, which is also a state of being cursed. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. So overall, when Paul tells us in Galatians that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, he's telling us there was a part of the law that spoke curses. Okay? And man was under this part of the law through the fall. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So see, this part of the law that spoke curses, for some may say, well, where are we going to find it at? Well, for us to see and find it, we need to go to the Old Testament, and we're going to go to two places. First, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 17. I believe it's 17 here. Genesis chapter 2. Amen. This is the first place we're going to look at. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 17. Now, look at what the word of God has to say here. Now, remember, the Lord God told Adam this. Didn't send no angel, didn't send no go-between, didn't take the woman out first and tell her to go tell Adam. God straightway told Adam this, okay? And he says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay? Did you hear that? So in other words, the day that thou eatest, that represents the sin, thou shalt surely die. That's the curse. Okay? Amen. That's the curse. Hallelujah. And so we know that Adam did it. He did it. So he came under a curse. Now, as we get ready to go to the second place, I want to explain to you overall what the curse of the law was and what it is. The curse of the law was threefold, okay? The curse of the law was threefold. Death, sickness, and poverty. Now notice that here what God said to Adam, the only way he would die is that he disobey. Okay? So this curse were to come because of what? Sin. Amen. It was to come because of sin. And see, curse for breaking the law is threefold. Death, sickness, and poverty. And these threefold affect man in three realms. The spirit realm, the soulish realm, and the physical realm. Okay? I say it again. These threefold, when man is sin, affected man in three realms. The spirit realm, the soulish realm, and the physical realm. Okay? So the curse was threefold, and it hit all three realms. And so you know the spirit, soul, and body, that's the fullness of man. So man, you know, man was in bad shape because the complete him was cursed. Okay? The complete him was cursed. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Let's look at the other one here. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, I know that the Bible was not originally written in English, and it wasn't originally written in chapter and verses neither. When man went to translate it, they put it in chapter and verses. And if we look at it that way, you will see that Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a long chapter. You're looking at about, what, 68 verses in there? But here's the interesting thing about this. The first 12-13 verses is nothing but blessings, okay? I bless you in the city, bless you in the field, bless you this, bless you that. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now look at verse 1. And this is what the Lord had Moses to tell the people. He said, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou will hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So Moses said, hey, all these blessings that I'm going to tell you about, that the Lord's going to do, he'll only do it if you hearken unto his voice. Okay? But here's something else we need to see in the chapter. Remember, Paul said in Galatians 3 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, not the blessing of the law, but the curse. So if you go to verse 15, and the 15th verse says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these diseases, all these curses rather, shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Wow. Did you read that? This is a part of the law from what we read in Genesis 2 and here in Deuteronomy 28 that Christ came to deliver us from. Because it was the judgment on us. For anyone that broke the commandments and didn't hearken unto the voice of the Lord, you was under this threefold curse. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. And as I said before, the curse was threefold. See, many people don't know about this. Amen. Just like, give you an example. I just shared with you that the curse was threefold. Death, sickness, and poverty. There are some who claim to believe God that when I tell them you don't have to be sick, it's like they don't register, it don't register with them. Because many of them feel that you have to be sick, and there's reasons why they get. One of them is that, okay, when you get old, you got to be sick. That's, you know, the world, and sad to say, with some of the church folks associate being old that you got to be sick. Amen. And if they ever hear of anybody that say, hey, well, you know, really, I've never been to the doctor, they will be flabbergasted. They wouldn't know how to react to it, okay? So this curse was threefold. And man fell under this curse once again as he took on the sin nature. And by man taking on the sin nature, what is the sin nature? The sin nature is that what? You automatically what? Sin. Just like a wolf nature is what? They're bloodthirsty animals. And for the most part, when they catch their prey, they don't just kill them. They rip them to pieces. They're bloodthirsty. Okay. Amen. And so, curse of the law was threefold. And this is what Christ came to redeem us from, this awful state. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he said, repentance goes to them that are under a broken law. So even though Christ came to redeem us from it, it's not, quote, automatic. You get what I'm saying? There's a role that man has to play. There's something man has to do. I think that for the most part, in the ministry, we have failed to really explain that to many people. Because you have some people joining churches because they feel like, you know, and some of the church have made them think, you know, you can do what you want to do. You ain't going to be held accountable for nothing. Amen. And, you know, a lot of people love joining them kind of churches. No accountability. You can sit up in the service, play with your cell phone, wink your eye, be flirting at folks up in there. You know, you can do that. Hallelujah. And so this threefold curse man was under when he did not hearken unto the voice of the Lord his God. And being under this curse, man could not deliver himself from it. Okay? Now, some of you that's listening to this broadcast in your pride, you won't fully acknowledge Jesus is the man. So you finna be showed, okay? Some of you have been used to running out and doing things for yourself, and you've been in this kind of trouble, and you like you got yourself up. Well, you finna hit something that you ain't gonna be able to do nothing about. And you're going to have to make a decision whether, you know, you're going to turn over to Jesus and let Jesus do what he got to do or what. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for the living God. Now, I'm going to stop it there today because the Lord said to Sam, I'll come back with part two. We're going to go a little bit further. And we're going to, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this threefold, but we're going to divide it up. Okay? Because not only do I think, but I know this is very important. Like I said, many people haven't gotten the news or the deepness of what Christ did. I mean, for the most part, you got people, they can quote, hey, Christ died for our sins. He was crucified. I say, oh, that is true. We were redeemed by the blood. All right, that's true. And I say, what was we redeemed from? Well, he died for our sins. I said, that's true. I said, but get more specific with me. And you find that some people cannot do it. And for the most part, in our churches, we're not fully teaching this. We're telling people in part. We're not telling them the whole thing, okay? And this is why some people, when sickness come on them, they just throw their hands up and just give up and just go on to die because they think that that's it. And many of them who have encountered sickness, they think that, hey, since the doctor say ain't no cure and no help, I got to live with this thing for the rest of my life. Do you hear what I'm saying? And not knowing what Jesus did and provided that you don't have to. Like I told you, some church folk, they can't stomach that, what I just said. They can't fathom that thought that they don't have to be sick. They, you know, it's a trouble for some of them because they've been so ingrained on the world's thinking that when a sickness comes, they automatically think, well, I got to be that. Especially, and I do say especially, when the doctor tell them, say, hey, we have no cure for it or we can't hardly do anything for it. Amen. My Lord, have mercy upon our soul. Have mercy upon our soul, dear God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord and God. I thank you for blessing me to do this broadcast. I thank you for everyone that's listening. Father, I pray you will bless me to come back tomorrow with part two of this. Amen, in Jesus' name. And I pray that this one I did tonight would have touched many hearts. Water the seed that I sown and bring forth the increase, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, I give you all the glory and honor and praise. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Glory to God. Well, thank the Lord for another blessed broadcast. And I know it's been about only a 45-minute broadcast, but we're going to come with some more tomorrow. Look for the advertisement then. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.